We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church. We're doing things a little different today. We have handouts right now. If you need a handout or a pen, we want you to just flag us down. We're going to be handing those out right now. Our usher is going to be handing those out right now. And if he's right there, you just flag him down and make sure he sees you, all right? Welcome everybody to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I want to wish everyone a happy new year. Can we give it up for the new year? Is anybody excited about that today? I'm so excited about it. It's time for a big reset button. It's time to do brand new things. It's time to reflect and align your priorities. It's time for changes. And you can't hate change right now. You need to embrace change in the new year because you have a call of God to go change the world, all right? Something that will help you is this. It's really simple. You need to get healthy. Somebody say, get healthy. A healthy you can accomplish more. In fact, there are things ahead of you that an unhealthy you is not going to be able to do it. A depressed you will not be able to have all the victory God has for you this year. A you that's full of fear is not going to be a you that can win and succeed. You got to get healthy in those things. We got to get healthy in our body, our mind, our soul, and our spirit. And so we are starting a brand new series today. Today's week one, first Sunday of the year, and it's called Healthy New Year. We want this to be your healthiest year ever. It is God's will. We believe it's God's will for this to be your healthiest year. Really quick, I'm going to give you a whole outline of the series. Our health focus is this. Next week, we're talking about mental mastery, conquering your thought battles. I have got a mental health expert who works for the last 10 years in the prison system. And he is going to be with us and talk about your mental battles. That's next week. His name's Linus Gilbert, and he's also my brother, and I'm so excited to have him. That's next week. Are you going to come? You're going to come. I'm looking at you. You come. All right. And then January 19th, we're talking about your body blueprint, finding your health design. And I've got two other really amazing friends that are going to be coming. They're a husband and wife team. The husband, his name is Darren Nelson, and he is an emergency room doctor. He's been one for several decades. He is amazing, and his wife works in holistic health. She's got a holistic health clinic, and they're both coming to talk to us about how to have a healthier body. That's on January 19th. You be here for that. Y'all going to be here? Look at somebody, point at them, say, I better see you here. Better see you here. All right. January 26th, this one I'm also excited about. We're going to be talking about having the heart, eyes, and voice to change your year. And we have none other than world changers with us. The Hadabals from Lebanon. Beirut, Lebanon. My gosh, do you know what they did in 6 days in Lebanon last month? They reached 4,000 people with the message of the gospel in their local mall. Kay was excited about that. Are y'all excited about? They're going to be with us on the last week of January. You be here. It's going to be life changing. And then the last week on February 2nd, we're going to be talking about soul food. We're going to be talking about discovering health from the inside out. All right. So I want you to decide right now. I'm going to be here. Somebody say be here.
Be here.
I'm going to invite somebody. Say invite. All right. And then I'm going to get healthy. Somebody say, get healthy. All right, that's good. Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual strength, unlocking the power of faith. All right, y'all ready? Here we go. I want to talk to you about me for a second. My life is busy. It's really busy. It was busy before I had a little baby in my arms. Now it's even busier. It's so busy. I want to tell you that I struggle to find time to go to the gym. I struggle to find time to sit back and just enjoy life. I struggle to find things find time to even do the things I love. I have not been hiking in a long time. I haven't just like sat down and watched a movie in a long time. These are things I love to do, but I am just too busy. Now let me be a little more honest with you today. I also struggle to find time for faith. And that's a real big deal. That deal, oh my goodness. Yeah, that is a big deal. Because faith is like my day job as a pastor, right? Faith is my day job. But I want to tell you, really honestly, I find myself trapped in email, spreadsheets, budgets, meetings, social media pages, the car dropping off the kids for school. I'm stuck there. And I find myself, there is a person that keeps calling me. I don't know who this person is, but their name is Spam Likely. Are they calling you too, Spam Likely? Who named that child? I don't know. But I struggle with my faith because I'm just busy. Everywhere I look, there is something I've got to do. And I just want to be totally honest. We can only grow if we get honest. So here's what's honest. It is easy to go your whole day or week without thinking or talking to God. Those were the two blanks on your first handout right there. It is easy to go the whole day or even a week without thinking and talking to God. Somebody say, that's right. If that's right, all right. I'm telling you, I remember a time I was sitting in a Starbucks and I was staring at my phone. It just wouldn't go off. It just wouldn't stop. It was just buzz, buzz, buzz. Notification after notification. As I'm looking at this, I'm also trying to multitask childcare. And I'm trying to write a social media post that doesn't make me seem stupid. And I'm trying to, I don't know if I ever have accomplished that either. And I'm at the same time trying to write a sermon. I've got all this multitasking going at the same time. And I just remember, I feel really overwhelmed. I just feel crummy about it. I don't feel good about everything. And that here's the other thing that's surprising to me. I was doing all the right religious things. Get this. I wasn't like watching porn on the internet, falling into some kind of weird sin over here. No, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't like yelling and cursing at somebody over here. No, I wasn't that. I was doing stuff like reading my Bible, trying to share good thoughts to bless others, trying to take care of my child, right? Trying to answer a phone call. I was doing all the right religious job things. But still, something was missing. I wasn't experiencing the peace that my faith was supposed to give me. And if I'm really honest, I had to realize at that moment, I was not spiritually healthy. Can anybody relate to anything I talked about today? Yeah, you might have a little bit of different job. You might say your day job is this, but guess what? You get so busy and all the stuff around you that you too might be spiritually unhealthy and you're missing out on the peace and you do feel overwhelmed. We live in a world that's constantly demanding our attention, constantly. Here's some recent studies. 2019, the average person checks their phone 96 times per day, and that's once every 10 minutes. That's in 2019. Go forward 4 years, and in 2023, the average person checks their phone 144 times a day. That's once every 6.7 minutes. Do you see the increase? That increased by about a third in 4 years. Where will it be at the end of the year? Real quick, what's the first thing you grab in the morning? It's probably not your Bible. It's probably not a water jug. It's probably Not even coffee. You're too sweet. Listen, you're probably grabbing your phone and you're checking that phone at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and every 6.7 minutes during the day. We're so bombarded by all the messages. We're so bombarded by the world constantly demanding our attention. This trend is real. It's getting so real that people are now looking for a way to put your phone in your brain. Yeah. It's a thing, guys. Like, now you won't have to grab it. Your phone will just like go, oh, I do want pizza. It's right. It's 2 miles that way. That's the goal, right? This trend is real. And we're only going to get more unhealthy unless we change. We are too busy to be healthy. And we are too busy to be spiritual. Honesty time. For many of us, faith feels like one more thing on an already overwhelming to-do list. I would think most people would agree with that. Nod if you kind of agree with that. I said that for many of us, faith feels like one more thing on an already overwhelming to-do list. Some of you, I'm so glad you came today to Redemption Church, but some of you, you saw the clock and you went, oh, it's already time to go. Ah, I have to go. If I don't go, you know, Pastor Chris, he'll probably cry on stage. And it's probably true. But the practice of faith and going to church and prayer, all of that should be a real plus for us. But because we're so overwhelmed with all the things, it feels like another to-do list, overwhelming, I'll say it, chore. Here's another study. While 65% of Americans identify as Christians, 65% of Americans identify as Christian. Only about 25% actively practice their faith beyond Sunday morning. Only 25% actively practice their faith beyond a Sunday morning. That means that 75% of Christians are Sunday Christians. And so there aren't enough Monday Christian, Tuesday Christian, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We might be the statistic. I'm so glad you're here today. I didn't come to just beat you up. But let's be real for a second. We might be the statistic. You might be thinking these thoughts. I believe in God, but what does that actually mean for me on Tuesday afternoon? What does that actually mean for me as I'm getting up in the morning? And we aren't making the connection of our faith beyond about 4:30 p.m. on a Sunday. You might also be thinking, how does faith help me deal with my difficult coworker or my anxiety about the future? And if you're thinking thoughts like that, we need to talk, because your faith is powerful enough to help you in every one of those situations, but you have to learn how to unlock the power of your faith. We have the title of Christian. In fact, when you're filling out paperwork, they'll sometimes ask you your religion, and there it is. It's one of those boxes, and we'll proudly get our pen out, and we'll go, oh. Sometimes we'll put a cross in it just to like, oh, yeah. I'm a Christian. That's me. We have the title of Christian. We have shirts that say it. We have armbands that say it. We have bumper stickers that say it. But do we have the life of Christ? We have the title. But Jesus didn't come to give you a title. He came that you might have life and have it to the full. Have it an abundant, overflowing life. Do we have the life of Christ? So I beat you up a little bit. Sorry about that. But here's the point. Here's what is fascinating about Jesus. He never intended faith to be a Sunday-only experience. And Jesus, time and time again in your Bible, reframes how we should think about spiritual health. Jesus takes spiritual health from obligation to passion. We read about it in Matthew 22. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 22. Hey, why don't you open up a Bible app? It might be the first time you've opened it all year. Open it. Get in the practice of reading. I want you to get in the habit of opening up your Bible app. Go ahead and humor me. We're going to put it on the screen. If you don't have a Bible app, don't go download one yet. But I want to read Matthew 22 in just a second with you. Here's the story. The religious teachers, they were called the Pharisees, and the Sadducees are in this story. And they taught one thing. They taught obligation. They taught rules, and then they taught rules, and then they taught rules, and then they taught, you better do these rules. That's all they taught. Rules, rules, rules. Somebody say rules. And one day, one of these rule, obligation-based Pharisees asks Jesus, and he asks him, teacher, rabbi, what religious rule, what religious command is the most important in all of Scripture? And this is how Jesus responds to him. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Y'all got those three blanks? Those are three blanks for you right now. Soul, your heart, your soul, and your mind. Verse 38. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Excellent. I want you to notice something about what Jesus teaches here. Jesus was asked about the rules. Do you know how many rules there are in the Old Testament? There are. Good job, Dad. He knew it. Look at him. That's why he preached last week. Good job, Dad. 613 rules in the Old Testament. It's hard to keep. Can anyone name all the 613 rules? Carlos has it. He raises his hand. Thou shalt not lie is the first one, Carlos. All right. Listen. There are 613 rules. All of this obligation. And Jesus could have just like pulled out like a list of something. Well, let's start here. Blah, blah, blah. Let me consider it. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go all of this. Actually, these are the most important. No, Jesus answers it very straightforward. Jesus knew the answer. We should know the answer. And the answer is this, that he shifts from the obligation, rules, state of mind towards passion. He shifts us from obligation to passion. Spiritual health is not about keeping rules, but about love. It's not about keeping the rules. It's about love. Obligation. Now listen, some of these obligations I'm kind of a fan of, right? I must not murder. Who's happy that I'm keeping that obligation? Anybody? It's good, good. Bill's really glad. He's like, yes, thank goodness. I was wondering. No, I must not murder because it says, thou shalt not murder, right? But is there any passion behind that if it's just obligation? I love God and others out of love. Now, this is passion. If I love God and I love others, instead of murdering people, I'm going to love people. Do you see that? So there's a big difference here. If you're out of obligation, it's like, but he makes me so mad, that Alex. But you know, I shouldn't murder him. No, instead, gosh, even when somebody makes me mad, the command of God is to love that neighbor as I would love my own self. And to by loving them, I'm loving the image of God, and I'm loving God with all my heart. I'm loving him with all my mind and my soul. You understand that? Here's obligation. I must go to church. Bible says that we should always gather together. It says that, you know, you should remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Stuff like that. It says those things, right? We should gather together, right? I must go to church. Or I must give. Or I must not cuss. Right? And so we're going through, I mean, we could have 613 rules piled on top of us, and we're going, oh, don't do that one. Oh, look out, don't do that one. And oh my gosh, oh, what is that? Oh, I can't do that one either. And then half the stuff you see, like on your TV screen, it like, oh gosh, we can't do that. And there are all these things going on. If we're under obligation, we're like a nervous wreck. We're not happy. And you talk about overwhelmed. But instead, if we shifted it to passion, you know, I love to go to church. I love to worship Him. And I love to see others who love me and care about me. And sometimes I pray for them, and sometimes they pray for me. I love to worship God, and I love to serve others out of love. You see how that's way more beneficial for you? What is that? It's a slight shift. It's the shift Jesus talked about from obligation to passion. I love to give. Man, that is much better than I have to give. I love to give, and when I give, it's like I thank you, God, that I have a job, and I trust you, God, with my finances, and I want you to take this offering and multiply it to help many other people. It's passion. And instead of cursing others on I-75 when they cut me off, every time. It's not the same person either. It's a different person every time. Right? But instead of cursing people, I will bless others. The Bible says the power of life and death are in the tongue. Proverbs 18:21 says that. And so now I choose, not out of obligation, but out of a desire to love, passion, I choose to speak life at all times. I'm not going to curse. I'm going to bless others. Listen, this is a big deal right now, because whatever you seek to accomplish in the year 2025, you need to find a way to shift it from an obligation to a passion. All right, now we just talked to you about a lot of religious stuff, a lot of Jesus Bible stuff, right? But it also works with your health. Instead of saying the obligation, I have to go diet and I have to go to the gym, you have a different mindset. I get to go to the gym. I get to be healthier, and I will live longer, and I will enjoy the people that I love more, and healthy food, it's better anyway. Anybody say amen on that? It is better. All right. Or your career in education, right? The obligation says, I have to go to my work. I have to go to my school. Instead of that, shifting it to passion, it becomes, thank you, God, for the opportunity. My boss, my teacher, they may not be the nicest person. They might be a jerk. They probably only know obligation. And that's why they're acting that way. Help me to show them love like you have shown me love. Whatever it is you want to do this year, do not approach it from an obligation standpoint. Approach it from a passion standpoint. I want to get better at a skill this year so I can bless others with it, so I can bless the kingdom of God with it. I want to read my Bible this year, not out of obligation, but so the Word of God would live in me, so I'd be prepared to bless others with the Word of God. I want to shift from obligation to what? To passion. Let's look at another powerful verse from this guy named Jesus. He's kind of good to listen to. Maybe we should read our Bible this year. Maybe. He says some good stuff. Here's one of the good things he said. John chapter 15 verse 5. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Notice what's happening here. This is just one verse, but it tells us three things very directly. Here they are. It's a spiritual shift of connection, not perfection. It's about being connected. It's about remaining with who? Jesus, the vine, right? You see, it's about connection, not perfection. And then second, it's daily passion, not religious obligation. None of that's in there. It's about continually, every day, remaining in Him. And it's not a, oh, I have to be attached to this life-giving vine. No, not at all. And then it's results-oriented. Listen, this one's important. Jesus wants us to have souls. He wants us to have fruit, but not fruit from really working really hard, but fruit from being connected to the vine. It's because we remain in Him. It's because we connect to Him that He brings out the best in us. Look at somebody and say, Jesus brings out the best in you. Jesus brings out the best in you. Just stay connected with Him. He's going to bring out talent in you. He's going to bring out blessing in you. He's going to give you revelation. Just keep connected to Him and you're going to have fruit, all right? All this comes from one verse of Jesus Christ. Let's live that out this year. I guarantee you, if you lived out this one verse of Jesus this year, you would be so much better off when it comes the next calendar year. Connection with Jesus. Connection with His Holy Spirit. This is what we should call spiritual health. Real quick, spiritual health is not being able to quote all the Bible. Spiritual health is not being able to tell people, you know, about Daniel's 70th week prophecy. Who can do that? It's complicated. I'm going to raise my... Or who here, you know, who here does all the right things all the time? No, that's not what it's about. Spiritual health is about connection with God, with Jesus, His Holy Spirit. So, here's a good question. How do I connect? Who knows they should connect with God this year? Good. All right, good. Because I would have failed if no one raised their hand just now. Just totally failed. You know you need to connect, but the question is, how do I connect? So let's simplify. Let's simplify. Here it is. Belief and behavior is my answer. Somebody say belief, and now say behavior. Jesus' ministry is about belief and behavior. Jesus highlighted faith and simple belief all the time. All the time. He was always marveling when someone believed. It's kind of funny. Jesus would be marveling. They actually believe me. When you read the Gospels, he's like, these people actually believe me. No greater faith have I seen in all of Israel. And we think that's really high, but I would just present to you maybe that it's a really low bar and nobody's, you know, passing over it. People are like, oh, that guy's from Nazareth. Who believes that guy? Have you heard about his mom? And like, no, this guy actually believed Jesus enough to obey Him. And Jesus is like, this guy gets it. No greater faith. Jesus was really big on belief. But Jesus did not just stop with belief. You know this? This is really important. Jesus insisted that we behave like we believe. Real powerful connection with Jesus is this, that we believe what He says and we do it. That's powerful connection with Jesus. You want to take your faith to the next level? Simply believe what He says and believe it enough to actually go and do it. There's a guy named James. And this James, there's several in your Bible, but this particular one is the half-brother of Jesus. They shared the same mom, Mary. And James says this about faith. It's James chapter 2, verse 17. He says, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is not very good. It's okay. It's milquetoast. What does he say? Somebody, it says it's dead, guys. Who is a big fan of dead things? Right? I tend to avoid dead things. Put your hand down, Alex. You do not like dead things. Listen, James says this about faith in Jesus, that faith by itself has got to have action. So let's real quick, we're going to take a health check. Here, I've got two phrases up here. Number one is, I have trouble believing at times, but I am trying to forgive others, serve others, and honor God. So there's the first line. They're having trouble doing what? Believing. And in a lot of churches, they're like, oh, they're having trouble believing. They're going to hell. Like, there's people that are like that. Okay? I've worked in churches like that. I know what I'm talking about. The next sentence I want you to look at is this one. I have no trouble believing, but I refuse to forgive some people. Now, I want you to look at those two phrases. Which of these two phrases is healthier? Don't say it. Don't say anything out loud. But I want to tell you today that I believe 100% the first sentence is way healthier than the second sentence. Because guess what? We all have trouble believing at times. We all struggle with certain beliefs. There's a guy who comes up to Jesus and Jesus says, I'll heal your daughter if you believe. And the guy says, I believe, but help my unbelief. That at the same time you believe, you can also not believe. And there are things about this walk with Jesus that are really easy to believe for you. And at the same time, there are things that are hard for you to believe, right? But what's healthy about that is even though they might have trouble believing at times, they're still trying. They're still trying to do what Jesus taught them to do. Jesus told them to forgive people. And so they're trying to forgive others. And Jesus told them to serve others. And so they're trying to serve others. And Jesus told them to honor God. And so they're trying to honor God. Sometimes, let me just be so honest with you. It is okay to just go, I don't know what I believe. But I'm trying. But I'm trying. I say it like this. Sometimes I open up the Bible and the Bible just slaps me into next week. And I'm like, what in the world is this verse talking about? And I just sometimes have to say this, Tria. I will just look at that verse and I'll close my eyes and say, Jesus, I believe this verse, but Lord, I don't know what it means. I don't know how it's true, but I believe it's true. And you're going to have to show me. What is that? I don't have it all figured out. There are questions I have about these things. But I'm going to hold on to this verse until it makes sense. And I'm going to ponder it in my heart, God, until you reveal the truth to me. Now let's go to that other sentence there. Be very careful if you say, I have no time, I have no trouble believing. Oh, I believe it all. I believe every word of the Bible. I just have no trouble with it. And preacher preaches, and you're like, I already believe that. Somebody gets up, preaches, and you're like, I already knew that. I believe all of it. But then, the thing Jesus told you to do, remember you believe in Jesus? Remember you believe the words of Jesus? But then Jesus says, oh, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No, no, no. I refuse to do that. Jesus says, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, no, 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 I refuse to do that, right? Holding it against people. And that's just forgiveness, but we could go in all the directions, right? I want to tell you, it is really dangerous to say, I have no trouble believing, but then turn around and refuse to do something Jesus clearly tells you to do. Now listen, this is real talk here. January 5th. Come next week. My brother's so much nicer than me. I would tell you, remember 65% of Americans say they're Christians, but only 25% live their faith beyond a Sunday experience. I would tell you that a large portion of our Christian community in America and in the, maybe not in the world, because other nations, they really get this and they really take it serious. People in Lebanon could be killed for receiving Christ. And people in Nepal could be persecuted for receiving Jesus. And people in Russia, the government could come down on them hard. In Cuba, But listen, we here in the United States, we have the title, but we don't have the life. And so we are literally saying we believe it all, but we refuse to obey much of it. And this is absolutely true because we aren't sharing our faith. And this is absolutely true because some of us didn't read a single book of the Bible last year. And we didn't pray. And our attendance is spotty. And we have trouble. We have no trouble going to Starbucks, but we really have trouble with offering plates. And we have all this stuff. Listen, that is a thing we need to work on. That's something we need to get a hold of. And if you really want to be healthy spiritually, it's going to require belief and behavior. I believe you, Jesus. Believe you, Jesus. And because I believe, I will do what you say. I want you to, this for the next few moments, think about turning your belief into behavior. Every time you do this, every time you believe something and then because you believe it, you do it, you are connecting to the vine. Every time you connect to the vine, He brings out life in you. And you start to bear fruit. And you come alive and other people see it. And then it testifies that you've been connected to something that is life-giving. Your WWJD bracelet doesn't do it. Only a heart surrendered to Christ has that testimony. Your shirt that says, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, or whatever funny slogan you have there, Christian knees, that doesn't do much. But the action, the way you treat others in the workplace and at school, that is what does the work. That's what bears the fruit. Every time you walk in belief and behavior, you're connecting to the vine. So what does this mean for you? Here's three specific ways to build spiritual strength by connecting belief to action. Number one, start your day with stillness. Can you say stillness? Before touching your phone. It just get 5 degrees hotter in here. This is hard. Before you touch your phone, time of silence with God. I won't even tell you how long. Go a minute. Go 2 minutes. Go a little bit, but have silent time with God. Psalm 46 and 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Really quick, somebody spell Axe for me. Axe, not Axe body spray, but Axe. A-C-T-S. Here's a simple way to pray, and it doesn't take long. Let's practice. Here it is. A stands for adoration. So somebody adore God real quick. God, I adore you. I recognize that you created the world. I recognize that you're true, and I recognize that you're with us. All right, that's adoration. Now, C is confession. God, I recognize who you are. And God, I confess who I am. I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've gotten angry. I've done the wrong things. God, I confess my sin. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Adoration, confession, T, thanksgiving. Now, God, I thank you that you are with me. I thank you for my family. I thank you for my day that's ahead of me. And you're thanking Him. And now, S is supply. S is supply. Now you're saying, God, I need some supply in my life. God, this person that's a friend of mine, Layla, she needs healing in her body. And there's this person I've been trying to share the gospel with. God, this person needs you. And God, would you supply that? God, I'm worried about my job. God, and I'm worried about this. And God, my check engine light came on for the fifth time today. And you're asking for supply. Now here's the deal. Very quickly, most of us, our prayer life is only supply. He done it. He done said it. It's the truth. It's true. Instead, start with something before you get to supply. And that's adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then supply. All right? So take that stillness with God. That does not take an hour. It can be quick. You can do that while you're getting dressed in the morning. You can do that while you're driving to work. But do that. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supply. Number two, go from obligation. Don't do it from obligation, but from passionate belief. Okay? I want you to eliminate obligation. And I want you to start saying things like this before you do it. Because I believe, I will. And then fill in the blank. Because I believe, I will serve. Because I believe, I will forgive. Because I believe, I will pick up the phone and call that person that God just put on my heart. Because I believe, I will share my faith. I will pray and I will give. And then give God a quick check-in through your day. Jesus, this is me. I still believe in you. And this is me believing in you. There have been times in my life where I wasn't at my strongest, but I was able to look in the mirror and I'd say, Jesus, this is me still trying. Jesus, this is me still having faith that you're going to bring me through this. And I would just look at myself in the mirror and talk to Jesus. Have that check-in with him, especially when it's hard. Do it every day, but especially when it's hard. Don't get mad and stop talking to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Do not get mad and stop talking to Jesus. All right. Number three, connect faith to action. Connect your faith to action. Read your Bible, and here's the deal. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, you do it. You just go and do it. Our connect groups do this all the time. We look at the Bible, we look at a scripture, and then we end the day by saying these words. We say, now that we read this verse, what is God asking you to do from this verse? Because it's not about just believing the verse, quoting the verse. It's about that verse being lived out in your hands and in your feet. Start your day with stillness, not from obligation, but from passionate belief, and connect faith to action. Here's what's exciting about this room right now, and churches sometimes miss out on this excitement. We're all at different points in our spiritual journey, and that's exciting. But here's the truth. We're all seeking something that's real. And we're at different places. And so let's be loving to one another. Let's be graceful to one another. That person's not where you are. So you ought to be far enough not to judge them. You ought to be far enough in your life with Jesus to love them. Y'all get me? Oh, come on, somebody. Studies show that people who actively practice their faith report 30% higher levels of life satisfaction, greater resilience in facing challenges. That is what a scientific study has found. If you practice your faith, you report 30% higher levels of life satisfaction, greater resilience in facing challenges. We got to get our faith to be active. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I want to keep your attention as they're coming. Listen, imagine what could happen if we as a community started treating spiritual health not as a Sunday obligation, but as a daily source of strength. I want you to imagine, what if we supported each other in building these habits? Spiritual health, like physical health, it grows one rep at a time. You don't have to revolutionize your entire spiritual life today. Just start with one rep. Can you give me one rep? Can you give me one spiritual push-up, whatever that is for you? Could you just give me one prayer? Could you give me just the next 5 minutes where you just closed your eyes and you just said, Jesus, this is me? Oh, what if you just lifted your hands and said, Jesus, this is me believing that you're receiving my worship. That is where you grow in your faith. Would you stand all over this place? Here's your call to action. I've got three things for you. Everyone in this place, if you are able to stand, please stand. Number one, I want you to connect in passion. That means you need to repent. That means you need to cut out some things. Cut out what? Repent of obligation mindset. If you've been living for God only because you have to, I want you to repent of that today. Ask God to forgive you of that mindset. and actively love God and others. Actively find a way to do that. Not just belief, but belief become action. Number two, turn daily belief into daily behavior. Take my sentence and use it. Because I believe in you, Jesus, I will. Because I believe in you, Jesus, I'm going to go to Connect Group. For some of you, you've been going to Connect Group. Maybe you try this one. Because I believe in you, Jesus, I'm going to go to Connect Group training. And I'm going to lead my own Connect Group at some point this year. Because I believe in you, Jesus, I am going to open up my Bible. We gave you some other verses to read along with this study tonight. Because I believe in you, Jesus, I'm going to take this home and I'm going to read one of these verses every day this week. Number three, I want you to start now. And start now, here's an easy way to start, by praying and worshiping. Our team right here is going to lead us in worship. So start worshiping. Start praying. If you felt like a pull on your heart, why don't you come forward and let us pray together, all right? These altars are open. I want to pray for everybody watching and listening online. Friends online, thank you for tuning in. God has a healthy future for you, but it requires you taking your beliefs and putting them into action. It's time to not live by an obligation mindset, but to start believing and acting. Father, help my friends to do that. Lord, help them to call on you right now and to pray. God, in Jesus' name, because we believe in you, Jesus, right now, we're praying to you and we're asking you and we're believing, God, that you hear us, God. Right now, we're asking for the people we need to forgive. We're praying for them and we're praying that you would help that person, God. Lord, not because we're great, but because we believe you, we're going to do this. Help us to live out faith this year. Lord, we will give you this year. I give you my days this year. I give you my heart this year. Lord, I give you my talents and my skills, God. All that I am, it is yours, God, because I believe in you. I'm giving it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, let's make a move towards God today. Let's do it now. Let's come now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.